and we're going to stay in here today and be persecuted. Let's pray. Lord God, it's a gift to be here. So thankful for the crisp morning that you have provided for our enjoyment and our pleasure and for your glory. As we come to your word, we pray you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand these words, and most importantly, Lord Christ, hearts to receive the gift of grace and good news herein. May then the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was in my first semester at California State University, Long Beach. I joined a fraternity and was traveling down a road that, well, let's say, I'm not so proud of. But God grabbed my heart and changed me in the midst of that first semester. And so I went and visited with my youth pastor, who was a friend and a spiritual mentor to me, and I said, you know, I find myself like Paul, doing the things that I don't want to do, and those things I want to do remain undone, and I'm just in the space that is so uncomfortable for me. I care about these other young men and this group of people, and what am I to do? And he said, well, you know, you could always share Christ with them. Okay. So at the next meeting that I went to, we have an open time of sharing, and I said, you know, it's been a pleasure and a joy to get to know y'all, but I don't know really much about you, and I don't think you know much about me. And so I unfolded how God was alive and active and drawing me back to himself, and just gave a witness, a testimony to my faith in Jesus Christ to these other 18-year-old men at California State University, Long Beach, in Sigma Chi fraternity. How do you think that went? Yeah, not so great. No, it didn't go well at all. And I found myself the next week in my youth pastor's office meeting for prayer and encouragement. He said, so Steve, how'd it go? I said, it went terrible. That was horrible advice. I said, I was called names like Jesus freak. They told me that I was weak and only those who aren't intellectual have to have Jesus as a crutch. They called me a hypocrite. I guess I deserve that one. My youth pastor looked at me and he said, Steve, aren't you blessed? What? He made me use my high voice just like that. What? Blessed? It doesn't feel like a blessing. He said, you're blessed because you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the sake of Jesus. That's what we're getting at today. Today, unfortunately, I don't know about Pastor Corey, but I'm lamenting we're done with the Beatitudes. It's been such a great study of what it looks like to be one who lives in the kingdom of God. And this, our last Beatitude, may be the most difficult. In fact, this last Beatitude sums the first seven that we've talked about. This last Beatitude talks about true blessing, but not in the way the world sees blessing, but in the way Jesus sees blessing, the way we are blessed in the kingdom of God. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and pull those out. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 today. Blessed. We talked about this a few weeks ago in our time together as we began the Beatitudes. In the Greek, makarios is the word for blessed, and it literally means free from all cares and worries because we are approved of by God through Jesus Christ. And as such, we are brought into the kingdom of heaven. There is no greater blessing than to be approved of, looked at as holy and righteous by the Creator of the universe. We are in a right relationship with God. That is what it means to be blessed. And this happens not through our own works, but through the gift of Christ Jesus our Lord. In 2 Timothy, Paul says it this way, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, welcomed, loved, an inheritor of all of the kingdom of God, a child of God, a daughter, a son, a worker, says Paul, who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles this, the word of truth. And Jesus said it this way, as he talks about those separated, the sheep and the goats separated by their relationship with Christ, those who will enter into glory and those who won't. He says to those who will enter into the glory of God, he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, that we are free from the cares and worries of the world. Those who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. This is what it means to be blessed in the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that people will like us necessarily. It doesn't mean that we're going to be happy every day we wake up, or all our needs will be met, or we won't get sick, or our loved ones will live forever. That's not what Jesus means by blessed here. He means simply we are in a right relationship approved by God, the creator of the universe. And Jesus says in this last beatitude, we are blessed because we are persecuted. Now, sometimes we get this persecuted word all mixed up. So what does it mean? Diagmos in Greek literally means pursuit by hostile soldiers. Take a moment to let that sink into your heads for a minute. How would that feel if you're being pursued by hostile soldiers? Some of you know how that feels as we celebrate you this day, Veterans Day. My dad knows how this feels. I'll talk to him later this afternoon and thank him for his service. It doesn't feel blessed, does it? But this is what persecution is. To be pursued. This is when we receive hostility from another, which causes us to suffer. Persecution and suffering go hand in hand. When we are persecuted, we are suffering. The Apostle Paul persecuted the church. You knew that, right? This is before he's named Paul. He's Saul, a Pharisee, and a Pharisee of Pharisees, one who has climbed the ladder. Gamaliel was his mentor, his teacher. Galatians 1:13, Paul says to the church, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. He was one of the foot soldiers of Judaism, tracking down the Christians and imprisoning and killing them for the sake of his faith. Paul persecuted the church. Stephen was persecuted by the Jews and especially the religious leaders. You remember the story of Stephen recorded in Acts chapter 2? My parents gave me the name of Stephen. I hope I don't end up under a heap of rocks as he did. But I would be blessed if I did. He unfolds the salvation plan, how God worked through Moses and Abraham and then through Jesus. And at the end of his witness, a testimony of faith, he says, brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those predicted the coming of the righteous one. That's the Messiah. That's Christ. And now, he says, you have betrayed and murdered him, you who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. How do you think Stephen's message was received? You know how Stephen's message was received. They killed him as they killed Christ. And yet he's looked at, this saint of the faith, as one who was blessed enough to be martyred for the proclamation of the gospel, for righteousness' sake. Verses 11 and 12 here are not, in my opinion, a new beatitude. They just help us understand the eighth beatitude better, captured in verse 10. You see, I think Jesus is telling us this is how you might be persecuted. You might be persecuted by insult for your faith. Has anybody ever called you a Jesus freak? A holy roller? Have they criticized that you're a hypocrite? How can you be this person that I know and also follow Christ? Because I know a sinner. Have you been told that Jesus is your crutch because you're weak? Has somebody told you only the unintelligent need faith? Have you heard those things? I've heard every one of them and more. And I'm sure you've heard some of them at least. Jesus says also, we are persecuted by false testimony. That's when people speak of us in a way that's not true. And I think, if you allow me to be bold for a minute, I think that pastors are especially susceptible to this one. You know what Pastor Corey did to the Johnsons? You know what Pastor Steve said to the Smiths? You know our pastors aren't really Lutheran. You know Pastor Corey and Pastor Steve, they only pretend to get along. Really, they can't stand each other. Because Pastor Steve is a tyrant to the staff. It's always his way or the highway. I wish I was making this up. But it's true. We've heard these things and more about us. Have you been persecuted by false testimony? Have people said things about you because of your faith, because of your obedience to God? You're blessed if it has happened. Jesus says also we are persecuted in the same way of the prophets. Do you remember any of the prophets? Probably the big ones, Jeremiah, Isaiah, maybe not so much the little ones, Hosea and Amos. How were they treated? Yeah, they're dead. And most of them are dead. Why? Because of their faith. I mean, age, that is a factor. It's been a long time since the prophets. But most of them died martyrs' death. Most of them were rejected. In fact, all of them, says Jesus, were rejected. Stephen even picks up on this. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? It's a rhetorical question to which the answer is no. They always persecuted the prophets. And Jesus says, lucky you. You're blessed if you're persecuted as the prophets. Their message was rejected. In fact, they were rejected and outcast from the community. And then Jesus says, Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of, did you pick up on this? Because of me. Because of Christ, you are being persecuted. Because of Christ, you are blessed when you are persecuted. Because we are persecuted like Jesus. And I want to say to you, when we talk about the persecution of Jesus, let me count the ways. Jesus was persecuted in every way, shape, and form. Everything you understand as persecution, every persecution you've received is not new to you. But Christ experienced those persecutions himself, even rejection and death. Now, this is not a general persecution. Sometimes we get mixed up and say, well, you know, I'm persecuted because, well, people don't like me. Well, that may be because you're not likable. Let's just be honest here, right? See, so then, is that persecution because of Christ's sake? No. It's persecution probably because, heck, we deserve it. It's not general persecution like my professor doesn't like me. This is a persecution because of Christ. This is a persecution because of our faith. This is a persecution because we claim Jesus as Savior and Lord. We are persecuted because of righteousness. Dikaiosune is righteousness. It means a right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ, which leads to holy and upright living. Philippians 3. Paul says, after he's just recounted all the gains of the life in Judaism, Paul has said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I studied under Gamaliel. I was in the highest place, exalted above all. I followed the law like nobody else followed the law. He's saying, I was a big deal in Judaism. But he said about all those accolades he received, he says, I consider them garbage. And just so you know, that's a four-letter word. It doesn't really mean garbage. It means something different. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. This is the righteousness that is imputed to us by Christ through belief, through faith. We are made holy and righteous. Though we are sinners, though our sins are like scarlet, we will be made as snow. This is the righteousness that Jesus is talking about here. This is the righteousness that leads us to persecution because of our faith in Christ and our obedience to Christ's commands. And then he says something really striking. He says, rejoice and be glad. What? Rejoice and be glad because of persecution? No. Because great is your reward in heaven. There's a sense that our righteousness that's imputed to us by Christ then becomes itself evidence of true faith and a reward in heaven. And that reward is kingdom living. Because of our righteousness, because not because of our righteousness, but because of Jesus, we are already and not yet living in the kingdom of God. And we've talked about this. We live already in the kingdom of God because it has come. It is at hand. It is near. And we don't yet live in the fulfillment of the kingdom of God, which will come at the second coming of Christ. The kingdom of heaven here, the other gospels use the kingdom of God. Literally, this is God's reign and rule. This is the culmination of Israel's expectation that Yahweh would rule and reign above all other kingdoms. And the kingdom is among us. The kingdom is here. What do we do with these beatitudes? These eight attitudes of living. What will we do with these beatitudes? We began our time together in studying the Sermon on the Mount, asking the question, God, what do you have for us? We were reminded that Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, after he taught what the person who is living in the kingdom of God looks like. Do you remember that? We pray, Thy kingdom come, after Jesus has said, after we've studied the Beatitudes. Because when God's kingdom comes, then we become poor in spirit, those who mourn, meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers, and those who are persecuted. That's when we pray, Thy kingdom come, what we're asking God to make us. Are you ready for that? Do you know what you're praying? God's given us fair warning. Are you ready to live in God's kingdom? Are you ready to be those things? You've been given an invitation. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives a parable of a master who is inviting friends to a banquet. He sends out all of the invitations. The day for the banquet comes. And who shows up? Nobody. The party's a bust. But Jesus says in the parable, the master does what? Goes out and finds anybody. Come. Come to the table. Come to the kingdom. Then, in verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. Friends, hear today that invitation for you. The banquet has been prepared. Everything is ready. The kingdom of God is here and at hand. Come and receive. How will you respond to Christ's invitation? Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.